and admit that we've got some battle wounds and that we've got some scars. Amen. That's why I'm here, because Jesus picked me up in that state of brokenness. And he fixed me up. Jesus' name. I'm about ready to call Brother Mark up here and have him sing that song. He thought I was worth saving. Come on, God looked at me even in my brokenness, with all the mess and with all the dirt and with all the junk. You can praise him even though you've been broken. It's all right to worship him even though your life is not perfect. This is a place that you can come when everything is messed up. God, I need you today, Jesus. God, I need you to change me. I need you to clean me up. That's why I'm here today. Jesus, Jesus. I believe that God has come to change somebody's life today. I believe that God is here to pick us up today. It just doesn't have to be to one of our guests. I'm talking to somebody. You've been coming here for weeks. You've been coming here for months. Some of you have been coming here for years and years and years, and your life is still broken. Your life is still messed up. You still have problems. You're still fighting the cares of life. You still feel the weight of the world, but you've come again, and God is going to deliver you again. God will heal you again. God will set you free again. God will put you on the right path again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. You know why? Because God doesn't care. God doesn't care what mess you're in. He said, I'm going to clean you up today. God doesn't care what you did yesterday or this morning or 5 minutes before you walked in here. God's saying, come on in. I'm gonna bring you home. I'm gonna wrap my arms around you. I'm gonna deliver you, and I'm gonna set you free again. Again. Somebody say again. So you don't have to have your tie just right and your hair just so. It's okay. Look around. You're in good company with a bunch of messed up, scurvy ragamuffin. All right, come on, man. Come on. Welcome home. There's a saying around here, if you don't have a church home, welcome home. But I'll tell you today, if you don't have a church that you've been able to find that's filled with broken people, with skeletons in the closet and dirt in their past and mistakes, and welcome home, because you just found a group of people that got some problems. But we came here today because we know that he can still set us free. He still set us free. He's going to meet with you today if you'll let him. But you got to let him. You've got to open the door to him. God's not going to kick the door in. God's not going to force himself on you. God's not going to force you to submit to him. But if you would let him, if you would surrender to his spirit. Some of you are feeling the call and the tug right now, even as I'm speaking. You feel God beginning to tug you. You feel God beginning to move upon you, but he's waiting for you. He's going to wait for you to allow him to do a miracle in your life. And if you would allow him to, God will move in an incredible way in this place today. In just a few minutes, we're going to invite the singers and the musicians to come back, and we're going to open this altar, and we're going to find a place to where we can do in your life. The Bible tells us that he desires to do great things for us. And I wished we believed it as much as God meant it. Because God wants to deliver you today. God wants to set you free today. God wants to heal you today. It brings him no greater joy than to do a miracle for you in this service today. But you've got to believe it and you've got to let him. And so when we open this altar, just come and throw your hands up. Open your heart to God and just let him do a miracle. Would you do that with me today? I'm going to do it. I'm going to let God work in me because I need God to work some stuff out. I know I'm the one standing behind the pulpit, but I need God to work some stuff out for me. I need some miracles in my life. There's things in my life that I know I've got to continue to align with his word and to be more of what God's called me to be. So when it comes time to commune with God in this altar, I'm going to ask him, God, speak to me and do a miracle for me. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us to receive it. Jesus, we're asking you today to do a miracle for us. Fill this place with your anointing, oh God. Fill this place with your delivering power. We can already feel such a mighty presence in this room. And now I'm asking you, God, to help us to let go of our pride and to let go of all of the fears and the doubts and the unbeliefs, God, and to surrender to your spirit and to receive what you have for us. His business boomed after the Empress of France appointed Vuitton as her personal packer and trunk maker. One of his first inventions was an unadorned, perfectly rectangular gray trunk. And after observing that traveling trunk's traditionally domed lid. That made it difficult to stack and to transport. Founder Louis Vuitton introduced a flat top model. And he engineered an airtight box of lightweight materials, and he covered it in his signature gray canvas. The trunks curved domes, 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 you can get a class S counterfeit. And if you get the class A counterfeit, it costs more than the class D counterfeit. Louis Vuitton is aggressively doing their best to crack down on trademark violators. and counterfeiters, and to protect their brand equity, which is valued somewhere over 28 to 30 billion dollars. The company designates over $15 million annually for its anti-counterfeiting department. So how do we know if it's real or not? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Some of you have come here today. And this is not the first time you've ever been in church. But you need something. You're looking for something. But you're asking yourself in the back of my mind. How do I know? If this is real. How do I know what's real? I want to talk to you today about counterfeit Christianity. this question that I had asked about whether it's real or not, I begin to look into it. I begin to study. Some of the things about recognizing a counterfeit Louis Vuitton bag or wallet or waffle iron. And there's little things that you look for on the bags. Whether or not the tag is rounded, or if it's pointed, or if the small gold link at the end of the zipper is round rounded, or if it's oval shape. The real thing is one shape. The fake usually is another shape. There's things to look for, things to recognize, to be able to find out if it's real or not. The more I begin to study it, the more that the study of counterfeit Louis Vuitton bag began to cross over with the top of counterfeit currency. And so I begin to look at it, and this question kept coming up: how do I know if it's real? How to spot a real thing or the fake thing. And when I began to look at this question and find out about knowing what is real, what I found really shocked me. They said that federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying the counterfeits. You don't look at the fake thing to figure out if it's real or not. But what they do is they study the genuine bills until they master the real thing. It's less about recognizing what is fake and more about recognizing what is real. They study the real thing. That way, when they come across the counterfeit, they immediately recognize this isn't real. This isn't real. I've come to tell you today that you don't find the fake by studying the fake. But you've got to know the truth. Come on, somebody say it with me. I've got to know the truth. I've got to know the truth. Proverbs 23:23 instructs us to buy the truth and sell it not. I've come today and God, I need a miracle. God, I need power. God, I need strength. But more so than my healing, I need salvation. And so I need to know that what I am hearing is the truth. The Bible has instructed me to buy the truth. And so if I'm going to purchase the truth, if I'm going to make an investment in the truth, if I am going to find the truth, then I've got to know what the truth is. Because some of you now, you're tucking that rickety old fake bag that you brought in today. You're kind of tucking it under the pew right now, but you're going to be walking out with it kind of carefully placed under your arms and think everybody's looking at you. And yeah, you rascals. How do I know if it's real? How do I know if it's real or not? Because the Bible's telling me to buy the truth. But there's so many things that sound real. So many things that feel real. But I'm challenging you today not to invest in the invalid. Don't put your faith in the phony, but buy the truth. Buy the truth. It was ironic to me that one of the terms that was used over and over again in these articles that I read about counterfeits was this word denominations. The definition of the word denomination is value, size, or unit. They use that term when they're talking about money, whether it's a 1 or a 5 or a 20. They're called denominations, different denominations of bills. But when you read down through those definitions, the second definition of denomination is religious group, sect, movement, body, branch, persuasion, order, or church. The Bible tells us to buy the truth, but with so many different denominations, how do I know what's true? I'm going to tell you today, they used to say if it looks like a duck and sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck, but how many know that ain't the truth anymore? I've come to tell you today, it's not enough for it to just look right. It's not enough for it to just sound right. It's not enough for it to even just feel right. But you better know what the truth is. You better know what the truth is. This article kept repeating that when you're trying to find counterfeit denominations, counterfeit denominations, counterfeit denominations. A quick study of this question would lead us to understand that there are 20 to 30,000 Christian denominations and organizations in the world today. And so I can't help but wonder to myself, with all of the mismatched messages, all of the different doctrines, all of the avenues that claim to lead to salvation, how do I know what is the truth? How do I know what is right? How do I know what is the real deal? How do I know if I'm saved or not? I know because I study the real thing. I'm not going to just study opinions. I'm not going to just study feelings. I'm not just going to study what my grandmother told me, or what my grandfather used to be, or what my parents used to call themselves. But I've got to get into the truth, and I've got to know it for myself. And I've come to challenge you today to know the truth so you can buy the truth. Can somebody say amen? Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Jesus answered, said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they're going to deceive many." Now, I'm not preaching against any specific denomination. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Heaven View is the only church that has the truth. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of places that are going to look right and it's going to sound right, but it's not the truth. You ever talk to somebody and while they're talking to you, they're just a bunch of jibber jabber and they acting like they know what they're talking about, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you have no idea what you're talking about. And people just like to act like they know everything and legit. They'd be talking and no. They sound right though. And they're pretty convincing. The only thing worse than that is somebody be talking to you and they're telling you all that and it sounds so good that you just go on what they say. And then you find out afterwards, man, that person, they had no idea what they were talking. Can you imagine Jesus coming for his bride? And then you find out that what I had been told my whole life, this so-called truth that I had invested in and that I had purchased was a lie. It was a fake and it wasn't real. With so many messages, so many religions, so many doctrines, so many denominations. This one says you can do this. Another church says you shouldn't do that. One church says that you can live a certain way, and another church says you shouldn't live that way. One church you says you have to do this to be saved, but another church says you don't have to do this to be saved. That just love God and you'll be okay. If we want to know the truth and we want to know what is real and what is fake, we better get to know the real thing. We better get to know the Word of God and know what is truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them or make them holy through thy truth, for thy word is truth." Amen. Don't take my opinion for it. Don't believe me just because I'm the one standing behind this pulpit with the microphone. But get into the Word of God and find out if what I'm telling you is true or not. I'm not nervous about it because I'm not preaching my opinion today. It doesn't scare me that you're going to get into the Word of God because what I'm preaching is the Word of God. It doesn't make me nervous. In fact, I'm preaching you today. Get into the Word of God and know what is true. Because you can't afford to be lost because you invested in somebody's opinion and it wasn't true. You better find out what is truth and what is a lie. It's amazing that some of us would be more frustrated finding out that we've paid for a fake purse. I'm not going to be able to do it. Lead me. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 16 says, and I will bring the blind by a way that he knew not. I will lead them and paths that they have not known. I will make them dark, darkness, light before them, and crooked things will I do unto them, and I will not forsake them. God is promising you. That he will lead you into all righteousness. God will give you wisdom. God will give you understanding. God will show you the truth. If you want it, God will show is to look and to feel. Look and feel. Some of you gonna be at lunch today, and they're gonna give you your change. Feel it. Look at it. I thought George Washington had a beard. That was Abraham Lincoln. Short of him had a beard, Abraham Lincoln, he had a half beard, right? If I get one of them money's with who's Abraham Lincoln's on the five dollar bill. If I get a five dollar bill and Abraham Lincoln's got a mustache, man. It's going down. I know that ain't real. Many people telling their own version. Of what was transpiring. Many people trying to figure out what in the world was going on. Poor Thomas didn't know what to think. He was as confused as the rest of them. Maybe even more. He was hearing all this stuff and And he didn't know how to sort it all out. He didn't know what was real, what was fake. He didn't know whose opinions were right. He didn't know if Jesus was gone, or if he wasn't gone. Was he dead? Did he raise up again? He didn't know if Jesus was really the Messiah. Everything that he believed has now been challenged, and maybe he's got caught up in some kind of elaborate scheme, but look at this. After the resurrection, Brother Philip, get it for me. John chapter 20 and verse 19. I'm reading in the New King James Version. John chapter 20, verse 19. Says that Sunday evening. The disciples were meeting behind locked doors. Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. And he said, peace be with you. Go down to verse 24. Still reading the New King James Version. when Jesus came and they told him, we have seen the Lord, but he replied, I won't believe it until I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. Verse 26, eight days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. And look at my hands, put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, but believing. And verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God, my God, God. Jesus knew that Thomas was confused. But he didn't throw him out. He didn't look down on him. He knew that Thomas had no idea what to think. Poor Thomas had no idea what to believe. Thomas had, I mean, he was just, I don't even know. Has anybody ever been there before? And Jesus said, Thomas, look. And feel. Jesus said, look at my hands. Touch the wound in my side. if we're going to be saved from the confusion of doctrines and denominations, we're going to have to look at the word of God and feel his presence. I invite you today to look to the Word of God and to let the Spirit of God move upon you and lead you into all truth. We can't immerse ourselves in the inaccurate, untrue doctrines of men and expect to be able to figure out what is truth. Look at the word until we know what the word really says. Some of us are arguing about stuff that we don't even know about. You're just regurgitating opinions that you've heard your entire life, or you heard somebody say, or you heard a preacher say in a microphone, or you heard somebody on the radio, or somebody on the TV, or a church that you once attended. And so you're just repeating what they said, but what does the word of God say? And it's not enough just for the word of God to say it, but you've got to know it. You've got to know that that's what the word of God says. Because I can get in this microphone and I can tell you things that are going to sound right, but they're not going to be true. Man, we can fire that music up. We'll get Richie on the organ. We'll put some of that shout music on. I'll spit and scream and I'll sweat and I'll say all kinds of stuff and it'll be exciting and we can make them run the aisles and everything that I could have said could have been a lie. But it sounded right. I can get into this microphone and start breathing heavy, but that doesn't make it true. I lose my breath tying my shoes. Doesn't make it truth. We're not just talking about a purse here. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about pleasing God. We're talking about God looking at us. And on that day of judgment, whether or not he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." John 8:32 tells us, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I believe that there's somebody here today that you're searching for the truth. You need deliverance, and you've tried just about everything. But you need the real thing. You need a real healing. You need real salvation. You need real deliverance, not some phony message that's a bunch of hype, but you need the real thing today. You know enough to recognize that what's happening in the world is just a precursor to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that we're living in the end times, and you know that what I need now, I can't afford to invest in the phony, but I need the real thing. So get into the Word of God and find out what is truth. Find out what is truth. Maybe you thought you knew the truth, but the counterfeit religion that you were a part of left you hanging. So I invite you to look at the Word of God and feel His presence today. And not just today. I believe that it will begin in this altar, but not just in this altar, but in your walk with God, in your daily routine. Get a hold of God and let Him reveal Himself to you. If the musicians would come. If you'd stand with me. I believe with my whole heart that God has come here today to reveal Himself in a new way, in a real way, to somebody here today. I believe with all of my heart that God wants to reveal His truth to somebody today. And He is calling you just like Thomas. And He's saying, I want you to look and to feel. I want you to look and to feel. Am I saying that this is the only church in the city that preaches the truth? No, 1,000 times no. But I'm saying that there have been some of you that have been searching. Maybe it was other religions. Maybe it was other avenues that you thought would bring you peace. You thought it would bring you safety. You thought it would bring you joy. And so you invested in your career to find out that it was a fake. It was a phony. It can't bring me the satisfaction that I was told it would bring me. Maybe you've invested in relationships because you were told that those relationships would give you the peace and the joy and the satisfaction, only to find out that some of those relationships were not the real thing. And so maybe you've turned to drugs and alcohol and other things that this world has to offer to give you that peace, to give you that rest, to give you that calm, to give you that satisfaction that your life is missing, only to find out that it's a fake. I've come to tell you today that the real Jesus, with His real power, has come today to give you real joy, to give you real peace, to give your life some real meaning. And He's inviting you to come and say, well, how do you know that this is true? He said, because I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon you, and you're going to feel it, and you're going to know that it's true. And then you're going to continue to get into my Word, and you're going to know what is true and what is false. Because I don't want to purchase counterfeit Christianity. I don't want a fake move of God in my life, but I want the real thing. Is there anybody hungry for the real thing today? Is there anybody desiring a real move of God in your life? Is there anybody desiring truth and understanding and revelation in their life today? Then as they begin to sing and as they begin to play, I invite you to come and say, God, you have shown me that you'll lead me, but you've told me I need to reach out to you and feel you. You've told me, God, that I need to reach out to you, that I need to feel your presence, that I need to seek after you, oh God. I'm asking you to give revelation right now, God. I'm asking you to pour your spirit out upon me in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. Come on, somebody call out to him. Somebody reach out to him.